Well, here we are at the start of another Holy Day season. The first time when an offering will be taken up this year. There is a saying that familiarity breeds contempt, and it's very easy for this to rub off on us in regards to our offerings. To most of us, keeping these holy days, today's offering is one of, well, more than hundreds that we've been listening to over the years. But our view of our offerings is of critical importance. It's easy to think of an offering as an opportunity to give a little bit back to God, as I heard it described once. But it has to be much more than that. A scripture which has often been referred to over the years in this regard is found in Micah 6. We turn to Micah 6 and we'll read verses 6 to 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Eternal and bow myself before the High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Eternal be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Eternal require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If we are to walk humbly with God, then will we be keeping his law, which includes giving offerings? But as the scripture makes quite clear, it isn't possible to pay God back. The sheer scope of what we have been given is so great that it is hard, if even possible, to fully comprehend. Last night we all kept the night to be much observed, and what a feast we enjoyed. And yet just 24 hours earlier, we were all on death row, condemned to death, until the one who, as the Word, created man in the first place, became human, lived a sinless life, and was brutally murdered by his own creation, so that he could pay the penalty for our sins and reconcile us to the Father. Instead of eating our last meal as condemned, we get to feast as a redeemed children of God. There is truly no way that we could ever pay back the Father or the Son. So we can't ever pay God back, and yet there is a real risk that through our offerings we could rob God. Just put in your notes Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. If we can't ever pay God back enough, how can we rob him with our offerings? Christ's frustration and sometimes anger with the Pharisees is well documented through the Gospels, and many of Christ's teachings to us come from these dealings with them. They set themselves up as the model that everyone should follow, but as Christ points out in Matthew 23, they were hypocrites. They were an example, yes, but sadly a bad one. Matthew 23, and we'll read verses 23 through 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and yet swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of a platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outward appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So these scribes and Pharisees were meticulous about tithing, and as other scriptures point out, they made quite a fanfare about giving offerings. How could they possibly be accused of robbing God with their tithes and their offerings? If you just turn back a few pages, we'll see. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost thy alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. If you drop down a few verses to verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The problem wasn't what or how much they were giving, but the reason they were giving. Recently, we've been going over the series that Mr. Bowles gave on the Ten Commandments. And the key thing about stealing is that it is working to get rather than working to give. These scribes and Pharisees were stealing from God by giving to get. They were giving all right, but only if it was reflected back at them. Today we might not be surrounded by the scribes and Pharisees, but we can see the same principle applied still with the vast majority of celebrities and the like. They give, sometimes more than most of us will earn in a lifetime, but only because it's good for their image or has some form of payback. This is not how God wants us to give. He wants us to give our offerings with a give mindset, not that of the way of get. If we don't tithe or give offerings as commanded, then we are indeed stealing from God. But if we give to get, then we are also robbing him. We read earlier in Micah 6 what God expects from us, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with God, we must keep his commandments. So let's turn now to Deuteronomy 16, and we'll read the command regarding offerings. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 and 17. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Eternal thy God in the place where he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal thy God, which he hath given thee. There really isn't much wriggle room there. We're told very clearly when to give, but we're also told to give God as God has blessed us. We saw earlier that we cannot in any way ever pay God back enough for the blessings that he has given us. Even the physical blessings we have received would be impossible to repay. The thing is, God doesn't want paying back. He would rather we paid forward. So what do I mean by paying forward? Imagine for a moment that you were in a position where you needed something, like a tool, or perhaps some furniture, or even clothing, and someone gave you something that would solve the need perfectly. But they insisted that it was a gift, and that they didn't want anything back for it, but rather pay it forward. You use the item for a while, and in time you earn enough money, perhaps, to buy something to replace it. Perhaps it's a bit more powerful, or maybe a little bit more comfortable, or whatever. So you decide that it's a good investment, and you buy it. The original item is of no further use to you or the original person that gave it to you. So rather than give it back to the first person, you pay it forward to someone else who could benefit from it. For a period of time, it would solve their needs, and perhaps they might be able to pass it on again. The original person who gave the gift received nothing for it, and yet as a result of their giving attitude, not wanting anything back in return, they have managed to give the gift to multiple people. This is largely how charity shops work, or at least how they used to. This is closer to how God wants us to give our offerings. We can never pay God back for the gift of life, or for the Holy Spirit, or for the knowledge of his plan. or for the future role that he has set aside for us as kings and priests. But by humbly walking with God and paying forward some of the physical blessings that he has given us through our tithes and offerings, we can pass on the spiritual blessings that we have been given and support God's great master plan for humanity. Growing up as kids in the church during the 70s and 80s, I remember listening to all the numbers that would be read out from time to time on the state of the work and the results of various ad campaigns and, of course, the newsstand program. One day, someone mentioned in an announcement, or possibly even in one of the hundreds of offering sermonettes that we've heard, just how much it costs to produce a single Plain Truth magazine. I can't actually remember the exact value of that, but for quite some time after that point, we gave, as kids, we would discuss how many Plain Truths or our little group had managed to effectively pay for as part of our offering, and then just how many people that might have read those Plain Truths, and maybe at some point might even have come into the church as a result of one of those. In essence, we were learning to pay it forward, although we didn't really realise it at the time. God loves a cheerful giver, and we were certainly cheerful in the knowledge that whatever contribution we could give could actually help. Today, the message hasn't changed, but the work itself is a bit different. We don't produce millions of Plain Truth magazines, or have weekly or sometimes daily TV broadcasts. We aren't financing multiple buildings, colleges, or visits internationally to foreign dignitaries. The primary focus now is feeding the flock and helping the bride make herself ready for Christ's imminent return. This is done with the physical mailing of material, both printed and audio, as well as through the websites, where hundreds of messages and articles can be found, where we can broadcast services like this one to anywhere in the world. Keep up to date on prophetic news as well as the priceless spiritual food and insight published in the pastor's reports and the news reviews. While we don't have the immense overheads of old, the current operations of the church do still cost, and every contribution is used in one way or another, not in paying God back for our blessings, but in paying them forward. And now, while the offering is taken up, we will have some special music, which is Arabesque No. 2, composed by Claude Debussy, which is played on the piano by Miss Beth Henderson.